Welcome to the Reimagine podcast, where we explore the philosophy of photography. I'm Ewan Bell. Today we're exploring a chapter of my book called Why Competitions Suck with David Norris. David has a lot of experience judging competitions at club, state, and national level. So we started talking about what it means to score a photograph for a competition, to turn an image into a number. One of my thoughts on this, and it's kind of my starting point, not so much my ending point really, the reason that I picked this particular topic to start off with for the first podcast was because it reveals one of the paradoxes when it comes to photography. We talk about the idea that a photograph tells 1,000 words, and here we are in the middle of a process that reduces it to a single number.
Yeah.
And for me, that's deeply unsatisfying.
Me too.
Because the number tells me nothing about the photograph.
That's right.
The photograph can tell me everything about something else and has a lot of value. And yet this entire process throws all that away and says, well, I'm going to give you 12.
Yeah.
And it says nothing.
That is so true. That is so true. I wish I had actual real answers to that, except to say...
I think I've really tipped you in the deep end with that one. Sorry, buddy.
You have. One of the things that I really like to bring out when I'm judging is the emotional response. A lot of judges don't. They talk about the technical stuff. And I guess the emotional stuff is the warm, fuzzy stuff, and that's good. But if a photo can elicit that, you know, we should be speaking about that, because isn't that why we're doing photography, to bring out that emotion? So I think it's really important for those people to get that feedback. Yes, there might be reasons why the image only got 12 or 11. Sadly, might have even got a 9. But there's always a story to be told. The strength of that story, it might take some time getting that, but the strong stories come out easily and they will get good scores, you know. And so but you're right, it is a terrible thing that we just reduce the competition to a number. I'll stab a few people in the heart right up. The reason why it sucks is because people can't listen effectively at a judge and the way they critique the image. I'm not suggesting the judges always get it right, but what happens is, as soon as you start talking about a particular photographer's image, they are immediately wanting to be praised. If by some chance you haven't given them that praise quickly enough, they get on the defensive, on the negative, and they stop listening to what you really have to say that's actually good about the image, because you've only got a short period of time to get there, get that message across to them, and if you do that badly, you're done for. And that's why it sucks, because people, once they're on the negative, they won't properly listen to the rest of the image's critiques. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why it sucks.
Wow. I actually hadn't thought of that. So in a way, they're really... they're entering the competition because they want some positive feedback, not necessarily because, you know, they want someone to tell them what's wrong. Which kind of makes sense because, you know, yes, they're saying, here's my best work.
That's very true.
They kind of don't want to hear, oh, sorry, mate, you know, we're just not really into orange clowns this year.
That's true. Or we're not into pelicans or seagulls, which, you know, is a wonderful opportunity to take good photos. And when you're very creative about taking photos of seagulls and pelicans, you get outside the traditional shooting of them, all of a sudden they can become wonderful. But when judges see... And we use the pelicans and the seagulls as a general thing, but when you see so many images of pelicans and seagulls, they do become a bit repetitious. So you do want to see more creative and thought-provoking images. But to critique those images that are, let's say, mundane or a bit ho-hum, bit same-same, from my point of view, you have to look at it and say, well, these people are just beginning their journey and doesn't matter what they shoot, they've shot it, and I need to be able to tell them how to improve it. But for me as a judge, in the eyes, I'm talking me only, I have to tell them what's good about it. You know, the good elements of those images. But sadly, some people can't wait that long to hear that. They hear that, as I said before, they hear that negative stuff and then all of a sudden they just switch off. And then they, when the good stuff comes, they're just so overwrought with the bad stuff. And I don't tend to say much bad stuff. I usually just like to give them one thing to walk away with.
Right.
You know, that will improve their photography.
So you don't lead with the good stuff then? Or does that make a difference?
I like to lead with the good stuff, but there are judges out there who tend not to. And, you know, hence,
maybe I wouldn't
suck.
Make a good judge.
Yeah, well, you've had me a couple of times, pretty upfront, but that's okay. Like, yeah.
They weren't competitions, but I knew what I was getting into. To be fair.
That's true, they weren't competitions.
You were just bearing your soul, is all.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what people do with their photos. They do bear their soul.
Yeah.
But the important thing is, I think the important skill to take away from being in camera club, sitting there at a judging night and listening to what a judge has to say, is listen to what the judge says as a whole, not just about your own image, because once you're listening to the image about, listening to the judging about your own image, you're emotionally attached. And you don't necessarily get the best criticism when you're feeling like that. I bet you've noticed this, is when you see an image, you can get a very good idea of where that photographer is at in their journey. You can tell whether they're novice or they're just a part way through the journey of learning and building skill. And then you can see the other end of it, the much more confident photographers, the photos tend to be a bit more polished. They might be postcard photos, but they are more polished. They've got the processing in them. But it is, as you say, those ones that are underdone, they tend to be at the beginning of their journey, or sometimes around the middle, and they're just testing
the water. And
they
haven't got the skills yet.
They haven't got the skills. That's exactly right. And that's what the judge is there to try and do, is guide them in a way that will give them, for me personally, something to take away. To give them the lift that they need and say, well, what you did there, the composition, the way you saw the light there, that needs to be rewarded by saying positive things.
Right, right.
But to give them, not necessarily a harsh critique, but just give them something to say that...
It is one thing that would improve that photo.
Because if you're trying to do too much, they can't absorb that.
Here's what I find hard about that. I find it hard to look at someone else's photo and tell them what they need to do to make it better, because their intent and my intent can be very different things.
Oh, very true.
And I find it very hard to step in there and say, well, here's what you should have done, because in fact there's 100 things they could have done.
Very true. And that is the judging dilemma. You know, because the way some of the audience that you're judging to will perceive your comments, they might perceive them in a very mature and constructive way and just enjoy the conversation of that, whereas others won't see that. But they're not necessarily on or listening at the right way to take on board what you're actually saying. And when you've got 100 images or more to get through in an hour and a half, it can be really tough to have a really good conversation about an image.
Yeah. It's hard to give them time, the time that they need.
Like, you might have done that at home when you were actually judging them, but when you're actually standing in front of, you know, the audience, which might be 50 or 60 people, which is obviously confronting in itself, and, you know, and they're all looking at you with daggers, because, you know, what's this clown going to say? You know, how are we going to bag him afterwards? Because, you know, the tea time, you know...
you get hit with a wet tea bag from behind.
You know, they might not say it to your face, but you know they're saying it. But, yeah, I think it is a dilemma, but it's really important to listen to the critique of all images so that you're not so personally connected to it, and then you can see an image a bit more objectively, you know, as an audience member at a judging night.
This comes back to why people entering the competition and look, this particular chapter about why competitions suck. It's not necessarily about camera clubs. It's a much, much broader topic. It's about when you enter a competition with a travel company and they just want to fill out their brochure with pictures they didn't have to pay for. And it's about the dynamics of the larger the competition, the less likely you're going to win anyway, just by numbers. And for me, the problem is a lot of good photos don't win anything. That's my major issue with competitions. Camera club is different. Camera club is that you're essentially running a competition to give people a chance to exercise their skills and learn what to do differently. Yeah. So it is in a learning context. It's not really about the points. It's not about who wins, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with that 100%. And in camera clubs, there's always the competitive bunch of people. And in my camera club, I am one of those people. And that's okay. But I feel that I share enough to other people. I'm not necessarily holding anything back from people. And, you know, I'm telling them how I got a photo the way I did. You know, I try and talk to them about it. You know, I'm not holding back secrets like a lot of photographers do.
Tell me more about that. Like, I find it hard to relate to that because obviously my entire career is about tell everyone everything and good stuff will come back. So what kind of things
but
would people hold back?
You're a special individual, Gil. So.
Well, I've heard that before. Yeah. My wife says that sometimes.
I think those types of people in camera club do exist. They share, they love to share. You know, they're social and they love to share. And I think that's great. But then I think there are groups of photographers who love to show off their work and tell everybody how great they are, but they don't want to share some of the little details of that. And I find that hard in camera club. And, you know, they're dotted around camera clubs all over the place, here in Melbourne anyway. So for me that's a problem. But that is a minority, and there's always going to be those different groups of people within camera club. But I do think the vast majority, once they get to a certain level, are happy to share. You know, they stand up.
Once you have that confidence, you don't mind sharing because you don't mind if other people do well because you know that you're going to do well.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, so it doesn't matter.
And in my camera club, you know, I really want to make sure that other people around me grow to become better photographers. So I think it's important
to be their best.
To be their best. That's exactly right. Good line. But yes, to be their best, make them grow, and, you know, and not be so precious about winning or losing.
Just a quick word to plug my book, which this podcast is based on, and my photography tours. I run a handful of extremely bespoke adventures every year, and they really are the best of their kind. I care about my travellers, and I work hard to give you the best opportunity and the best experience. Go to ewanbell.com and take a look. I want to get back to seagulls and pelicans.
Yep.
Because when you said that, that really hit home. Because yep. when I turned up to VATS last year, and that was the first time I'd actually come to one of those events.
Oh, really?
And there were a lot of pelicans
yeah.
in that set. And I think this goes to the topic of cliches. And that the problem mm. with shooting a cliche is that it's got to be really good.
Yes.
And if you don't do it well, you're dead in the water.
Yep, that's right. So rocking up down to San Remo on the beach there, well, they're feeding them the fish skeletons at lunchtime every day and taking those photos, they're probably not going to be your award-winning photos at in a competition.
And is that just because you've seen so many of those shots?
I think it's not going to...
You know, it's now hat. The idea yeah. is hat. The idea is out there, and it's no longer really, you know, something fresh.
That's true. But what I find, and this is my point of view only, but what I find is when people do take those photos, it's not to punish them because they've taken that cliche photo, but to look at the photo and say, well, what did they do right here? In their part of, as a part of their learning journey.
How did they handle the light? How did they handle the subject?
Exactly.
Did they execute the technicalities of it
That's
well?
That's exactly right.
Even if the idea is not fresh.
That's very true. And, you know, the pelicans and the seagulls are absolutely wonderful examples to learn how to do wildlife photography.
Yeah.
And they're right here in your backyard almost. So, you know, go down the beach with your chips and your seagulls, and try and take those photos and get some really interesting photos. Learn that the techniques that your camera, the settings that your camera needs to be able to get that, because you're going to be able to get plenty of chances to get it right. Fast shutter speeds, slow shutter speeds, wide open aperture, shut it down, all sorts of things to try and experiment with. And when you get a more unique, unusual photo, they're the ones that can go well in camera club competitions.
It's a great challenge, that, isn't it? Because you've got a subject that becomes very easy to work with, the seagulls, say.
Mm.
And in a way, that gets in the way of you working as harder on the technical side of it. It's like, well, I've got my shot of a seagull.
Mm.
And you're not necessarily pushing the boat out any further.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. But then again, that might come down to the where that particular person is in their journey of photography. They might not be at the Photoshop stage just yet. They're still worrying about the in-camera getting it right.
To me, it ties in with this idea that a convenience gets in the way of quality. Everything about your photography, the more convenient you make it, it's not necessarily leading to a better photograph. So the difference between a zoom lens and a prime lens, you know, if you use the zoom because it's convenient, but there's a trade-off there.
Of course.
You know, you don't get the same kind of image quality. You don't get that shallow depth of field to work with, that kind of stuff.
You don't get that intimacy that you
don't get the intimacy
often looking for in some of that, particularly that street work sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And so the more you have convenient photography, the less likely you're going to be pushing the boat out on your quality and actually working as hard with your photography. And so if you have the convenience of a whole bunch of seagulls as opposed to, you know, trying to get the last known parrot that's out in the middle of the outback, you know, the last known ground parrot, you know...
Having said that...
You're not working as hard.
True. But having said that, if you're trying to capture that last known parrot in the outback and you haven't got the skills...
Jeez, that's not a good combination.
That's not good.
Yeah,
it could be a waste of time. So, you know, hopefully the seagull analogy is really building up to other things and then eventually...
You learn your skills with the seagulls and then you go off to chase the parrot.
That's right. So, you know, when you're off in Bhutan looking for all those beautiful birds, you know, the skills that have become quite natural with the seagull all of a sudden become an opportunity to not think about the skills, but getting the actual image that's really going to count.
I'm kind kind of thinking about the process of judging. A couple of times when I've judged competitions, there's a couple which I do every year, and I know there's sort of two or three other judges. And what happens, I see, is that there might be a couple of images that really stand out and they're very good.
For you?
To me, yeah. And that they might be bravery images or, you know, be slightly stronger.
Yeah.
And to other judges, they may be too quirky or too off the brief or something like that. Standing out from the pack might appeal to one or two of the judges, but not necessarily all three or all four.
Yeah.
And so that means if you're doing something a little bit different, then basically, statistically speaking, you're going to lose some points somewhere.
Oh, that is so true.
And that means you won't win.
Yeah. And the way the judging system works for most of those types of competitions, the score, well, if it's multiple judges, let's use the national competition as an example. There's three judges in a panel, and each judge can score up to 5 points. If you've got one judge, as you said, that says, oh, this person's really stepped out here and really taken on a challenge and, you know, created something really extraordinary here, that may not be the norm, and you think, wow, this person really deserves it, then the judge next to you might just go, yeah, it's not exactly as it could be. It's not, you know, they might find fault in it for some reason. And if they give that a 3, that person's day is ruined, because it doesn't matter really what the third judge gives it. You know, you might end up with 11 or a 12, and that's not going to get you the 15 points that you need to be at the pointy end, at the end, towards the end of the competition, when they're going to be start picking the winners and the awards. So you're right, it is tough. And to have three brave judges on a panel at once probably never happens.
I think the upside to that kind of competition is that at least you can actually get a silver or a, you know, some extra way to have your work recognised for the value that it has. And I think my general problem with competitions is that one person wins and everybody else loses, regardless of how good they are.
Yeah,
and it's a little bit different in Camera Club context. So the fact that they get something back is really good. What advice do you have for people who are planning to enter some competitions, and they may not be camera clubs and stuff, and perhaps along the lines of, don't get your expectations too high, don't attach your self-worth to the outcome of a competition, because in a way the judging doesn't matter.
You're right. I think over time I've learnt from my own personal journey in competition is that not to have your expectations too high. That is most definitely. You have to develop a bit of a thick skin, but you have to be prepared to ask questions. Those questions might not be of the judge. They might be just, you know, your other Camera Club members or people that you might look up to and, you know, admire their photographs. I think it's really important to stick to that and learn from that, because judges may just have a different take on photographs than you do. And of course, that being emotionally connected is can be difficult. It certainly has been difficult for me. When I'm looking at other people's work, I don't have that emotional connection, so therefore I can look at it in a much more objective way. I tend to not look at my own work with such in such an objective way. It can be quite difficult for me. And I think that's a bit of maybe a flaw in me, but that's okay, because I have feeling and I can see that in other people's photos, and I often like to bring those issues out in other people's work. But you do have to have a thick skin. You know, if you're getting scores that are high, 15, 14, 13, you know you're at the pointy end, and sometimes it's very difficult for a judge to split the decision, because they might have looked at those images initially and said, oh, wow, that's those images are, that's the 15 group there. But because of the way some camera club competitions run, they have to choose only one winner. And you might have just, it might have been split for, because, you know, the guy liked a portrait as opposed to a landscape. Or, you know, one eye wasn't as sharp as the eye of others. So, you know, there's just tiny little reasons why they might have split a decision. But don't take that to heart. Just know that it wasn't just, it wasn't your day, that particular day, because it could pick up an award somewhere else quite easily.
Try not to take it personally.
Don't take it personally.
To put all your self-value on that competition.
Absolutely.
I want to say a big thank you to David for sharing his thoughts today. We didn't get to talk much about the book, but that's okay. If you enjoyed this conversation, please give it a thumbs up. You can also find out more about my book, The Photography Tours and Workshops at ewanbell.com. David will be joining me on the next Nepal Photography Tour in 2020 and then in Bhutan for 2021. Thank you.